Friends, as we remain standing, we're going to read the portion of the scripture that becomes the basis of today's sermon. It's going to be from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through to chapter 3, verse 4. And here is the word of the Lord. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you're not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? It's the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Friends, welcome to all of you, especially those of you who are here with us for the first time this morning. Thank you for attending the Sunday service at ICC Melbourne. We are in the middle of a series called Redeeming the Ruins, how the gospel penetrates even the deepest hearts of the Christians in the church of Corinth in the first century, and how that also is so relevant to us who live in the 21st century today. And we're looking at this passage that we just read, and I want you to pay attention first to the wrong way of understanding this passage, the wrong way. There was a guy called Bill Bright, very famous in the Christian world. He was the founder of Campus Crusade, still exists until now. It's called Crew these days. And he wrote a booklet, actually, which was so popular in the old days. And it's called, Have You Made the Wonderful Discovery of the Spirit-Filled Life? Where in that booklet, based on the passage that we just read, he came up with a threefold division of the human race. In the next slide, please. So there are three categories of people. Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, this is not the right way. This is the wrong way to actually understand the passage. But this is becoming so popular. It has become so popular. The first one is the natural person. I don't know if you remember reading verse 14 of chapter 2. It says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. So the natural person is one where the self is on the throne. If you see, the cross is outside the circle, right? So the self is on the throne, and those small dots in a big circle, they are decisions and actions that we, because we are the sovereign in our lives, we just basically direct and make all those decisions and actions, and the result is frustration. Why? Because Jesus is outside of your life. So that's the natural person. And then in the middle circle, you see the spiritual person. And this comes from verse 15 of chapter 2. The spiritual person judges all things. Now you can see now in that picture, Jesus is in the circle. He's on the throne, in fact. And the self is below it. It's yielding, it's surrendering to Jesus. The person sees Jesus' influence and direction in their lives. And that's why all the dots are now lined up perfectly. Because the person follows the will of Jesus. Now, here is where this illustration deviates from the actual truth of this passage. Because there is a third category called the carnal or the worldly person. Now you see in the third circle there, Jesus is in the life of the person, but not on the throne, Because the self is still on the throne. Because the self is directing decisions and actions, and often resulting in similar outcome, that is frustration. So this is referring to someone who has received Christ, but is living a life that is completely similar, indistinguishable from the world. And obviously this is the way they interpret 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, i.e. the carnal person, the worldly person. Now this last circle, this diagram is a bit misleading, because then we would take it to mean that if you look at around you, this in this building, right, there's a room full of Christians, and the Christians in this room can be divided into two different categories, the carnal and the spiritual, the worldly and the spiritual, the self-directed life and the spirit-directed life. And many people have been convinced that it's okay for me to be a saved person, to be a Christian, although I haven't really repented, I haven't really believed, I haven't really surrendered my life to Jesus. And instead, living in constant rebellion against God's Spirit for a long period of time without realizing that he or she has actually never repented in the first place. So rather than convincing you that this is not the right way, let's look at the text, right? Let the text actually help you to understand why this is not an accurate understanding of the passage, because this is an important part of our sanctification, of our walk with Christ. So let's look at the first one, the natural person, right? The natural person. Verse 14 of chapter 2, the natural person, that word psychikos is the original Greek word, right? From the word psyche, which means soul. So the NIV translates that as the person without the spirit. Someone who only has the physical life. A person in their ordinary, unredeemed state of earthly existence. That's how theologians say, right? This is in Adamic nature. They haven't been transformed whatsoever. In the next slide, there's a guy called William Barclay. He came up with this timeless and timely definition of a natural person. He said, this natural person lives as if there was nothing beyond the physical life, and there were no needs other than material needs. So this person never has a thought beyond this world. This person lives between two points. Their lives are bookmarked between the day they were born in the hospitals, most likely, and the day they die. They were trapped under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun, right? Everything is meaningless, and they are trapped there because the only thing that the physical life is all they have. Now, William Barclay wrote these words in 1956, the mid-century Scotland. But this word, this sentence, is much more accurate, much more relevant today in the 21st century, because immorality, materialism, atheism of the Western world is more rampant, is more pervasive. And you see, Paul said that this natural person who rebelled against God, they do not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They don't accept the Christian truths. And this human inability is not really intellectual. It's not so much that they could not understand what the Bible says, but they refused to understand. So it's not intellectual, but it's volitional. It's not because they lack intellectual capacity, but they lack moral willingness to trust and obey what God says in the Bible. Because, you know, many non-Christians, they know the Bible so well. There are so many Bible scholars who are not Christians. Can you imagine that? There's so many Bible scholars who are not Christians. But the Bible says that the true understanding, the fullest understanding, can only be possessed if you are willing to trust and obey the Word of God. And therefore, this is what theologians call culpable inability, i.e., God has made us for Himself, but we have run from Him, and therefore we are guilty. We have rebelled against Him. We do not want to know Him. We are thinking that we are still in control. We don't mind a God who we can manipulate, but we do not want a God to whom we have to admit that we are rebels, that we are sinful, that we are in need of His grace, although we are undeserved. We do not want to admit all that. That's the natural person. And you will see most of them on a daily basis in your workplace, around university campuses, around this CBD. You will see a lot of people, not because they don't understand what God says in the Bible, but they choose to refuse the God who has revealed Himself in the Bible. The second person, the spiritual person. Verse 15, the spiritual person comes from the word pneumatikos, right? Pneuma means the spirit, right? When you see ikos, that means controlled by. So someone who is spiritual is someone who is controlled by the Spirit. The person with the Spirit, and hence this refers to all Christians, because Romans 8:9 says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him." So the very fact that you have the Spirit of God tells us that you are a Christian. This person, this spiritual person, lives out Christ crucified. Remember Paul said, we saw this last week, that I decide to know nothing except Christ crucified. Now this includes turning away from a life that focuses on your own agenda, your own ambition, but seek first the kingdom of God. In fact, you are willing to be despised by the world. You are willing to be thought irrelevant by your colleagues at work, if that's so necessary to promote God's reign in this world. And what's interesting, Paul continues to give some characteristics of this spiritual person. This person judges all things. Now, this is something quite mind-blowing, actually, because it means that Christians, if you have the Spirit of God, you have the ability to bring God's perspective to bear on every aspect of life. We are able to make intelligent spiritual decisions, not just on matters that relate to the Bible, but all things. Look at that phrase there. He judges, or she judges, all things. It covers the range of moral, spiritual, practical experiences, from the new space of paganism, from raw space of paganism, to now what it means to be a Christian. So the Christian, the spiritual person, has lived in both worlds, right? The secular world, but also in spirit-controlled understanding. So therefore, they can properly assess what is going on. Let me give you an example. I'm colorblind, right? So that's why I can't be studying chemistry and become a chemist. Because imagine how many people would die if, because of my lack of understanding of different hues of colors and all that, and people die because I prescribed the wrong medicine, right? So I couldn't be a chemist because I'm colorblind. See, people who are not spiritual, who do not have the Spirit of God, they cannot understand the deep things of God. They cannot understand why certain people do certain things. Why do Christians spend the precious weekend, 2 hours every week, to go to church? In fact, they wouldn't understand why so many Christians spend endless hours thinking about God's word. That is silly. In Luke 12, Jesus mentioned the parable of the rich fool, where he said, life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, if you discuss that with someone who's not spiritual, they will think that you are completely a nutcase. Jesus said in that parable, there's a man who's so rich that he has got no more space to put in his grain and his goods. And then this person says to his soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Chill, wine, dine, and enjoy yourself. And then verse 20 says this, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? See, this person in Jesus' parable, obviously he was smart. He was an entrepreneur. You know, he can build his business, and he became richer and richer by the seconds, right? So he is actually not foolish at all. He's not stupid. But God called him fool. Why? Because he can only see that life is about accumulation of wealth. Life is what he can see within 80, 90 years, and that's it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Now, people who don't have the Spirit of God will not accept that, will not understand that. So, secular person, the natural person, is so limited in their perspective, is so narrow in their perspective, because they never enjoyed the transforming insight into God's purposes that the Holy Spirit gives to the spiritual person. And that's why Christians, as I said last week, don't be stupid. Do not buy into the world's perspective. Do not believe and subscribe to its limited vision of life that is so constrained by 80, 90 years and that's it. Because if you keep seeking after what the world offers, you know, God will call you fool. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. So the spiritual person has the Spirit of God. He can judge all things. Continuing on the next person, the worldly or carnal person. Chapter 3, 1 to 3. Now, in this chapter, which is kind of a continuation of chapter 2, Paul is rebuking the Corinthians in a harsh manner, but he never thinks that they are not Christians, because he said before in chapter 2 that they have the Spirit of God and they have the mind of Christ, and they also, if you notice there, he addressed them as brothers, brethren, right? Men and women included, obviously. But he's going to rebuke them so harsh. If you now look at the phrases that he used there, which is quite interesting, and I don't have a lot of time to explain this, but just look at with me briefly. The first word there in verse 1, the flesh is sarkinos, right? Sarkinos means literally fleshy or flesh, made of flesh. It's about material relations, so we are made of flesh, i.e. we think that life is about physical life. That's it, right? The King James Version translates that phrase as carnal, right? And that's so unfortunate, because today we think that carnality, carnal desires, has to do only with sexual lust, but that's not what Paul meant. This is about thinking that life, the physical life, is all there is. But if you look at verse 3, the word flesh there uses a different word in Greek, right? And this is not a matter of semantics, you know, tomato, tomatoes. No, it has something more substance to it. In verse 3, sarkikos, not sarkinos, means that we are characterized by flesh. So what Paul meant, essentially, he said that human life, apart from the Spirit of God, is not neutral. Because you will be controlled by the flesh. How does he know that? Because there is envy, there's jealousy, which then results in quarreling, right? There are factions in the Church of Corinth. That is proof that you are still controlled by the flesh. Christians who manifest jealousy are worldly, are carnal. Now, Paul also uses a different image, metaphor, to describe this Christian. And he used infants, right? Next slide. As infants in Christ, which is the same as carnal individuals, as worldly individuals. As infants, I fed you with milk, not solid food. So these carnal Christians, they like babies. They're not completely secular. They're not completely pagan, because the Corinthians still go to worship, as we will see in 1 Corinthians 14. They still wrestle with theological and ethical issues, 1 Corinthians 6 to 8. They are given spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 14. The problem is they are still being controlled by the flesh. Now, if you notice what Paul said there, you were not ready for it. Now, this refers to the 1.5 years when he was with the Corinthian Christians. So when I was there, I give you milk because you were babies, and it's fine, it's completely normal. But now, it says there, and even now, 5 years later, you are still babies. Friends, it's cute to see babies, right? In diapers, in all the baby cuteness form. But if after, you know, a few years, you are 17, 18 years old and you're still wearing diapers, there's something wrong with you. So the immaturity here resembles that of an adult acting like infants. And Paul said, I cannot give you solid food. Friends, the difference between milk and solid food is one of degrees, not kind. It's not like there's a doctrine that is good for babies and doctrine that is good for adults. No, the same doctrines, but different degrees. So, for example, the song that we sang before, right, when we say, if people ask you, how do you know you're a Christian? And then you say, well, I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. That's all you can say. That means perhaps you are a baby. But after a few years, you have to be able to explain in much more nuanced way of why you know you are a Christian. Not just, I was blind, but now I see. But you will see that, well, I was actually rebelling against God, and God stopped me at my track, and then he laid down his life so that my life can be made whole again, and so on and so forth, right? So more nuance. So summary, next slide. Every Christian can be carnal or can be worldly, as they always engage in a constant battle against sin and sometimes fall into sin. But no Christians remain as carnal, as worldly Christians, and never have the willingness to battle against sins. Because despite what they profess, they are natural persons without the Spirit who claim to be Christian believers. So friends, if you engage in a constant battle between your flesh and the spirit, between the old man and the new man, that is a visible sign that you are not dead in sin, but you are alive in Christ. Because dead people cannot fight. So no Christians can say, you know, I am a Christian, but I still live in sins. You know what? Because I'm only human. I'm weak. You cannot say that, because if you are a Christian, you will grow into maturity. You will fight against sin. Salvation is absolutely free, but it will cost you your entire lives. And no one could embrace Christ only as a savior, but not as the Lord of your life. And that's why Paul, in the second letter to the Corinthians, in the next slide, he said this: examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Maybe he is not in you, Corinthians, because you behave in ways that are so carnal, that are so worldly. So, friends, in the final analysis, there are only two categories of people: the carnal, which is also the natural person, same person, right? And the spiritual person. Because if you are carnal, if you are worldly, then you are most likely a natural person if you keep living in sin. Next slide, J.C. Riley, who wrote the book, famous book, Holiness, he said this, and I think this helps me a lot in understanding this passage. The Word of God always speaks of two great divisions of mankind, and two only. It speaks of the living and the dead in sin, the believer and unbeliever, the converted and unconverted, the travelers in the narrow way and the travelers in the broad, the wise and the foolish, the children of God and children of the devil. Within each of these two great classes, there are doubtless various measures of sin and of grace, but it is only the difference between the higher and lower end of an inclined plane. Between these two great classes, there is an enormous gulf. There are as distinct as life and death, light and darkness, heaven and hell. But of a division into three classes, the Word of God says nothing at all. So, unlike what Bill Bright wrote, there are only two classes. How do you know, though? How do you know whether you are a worldly or a spiritual person? In the next slide, please. A worldly or a natural person is being controlled by their sinful nature. And Paul, in a different letter, wrote that a list of sinful nature. So, friends, let us examine ourselves this morning. If your life is filled with, and you notice there are sins that are gross, there are sins that are respectable. Right? The respectable sins are jealousy, outbursts of anger, and selfish ambition, because people tolerate that. If you're jealous of your colleagues who are more successful than you, that's fine. That's a good jealousy, right? And those are respectable sins. So if you are living controlled by all these things, you are carnal. You are like a natural person. You don't have the Spirit of God. But the spiritual person, in the next slide, is controlled by the Spirit and exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the Christian life, in the next slide, is an upward progression of faith. And growth is not a perfectly linear process. Sometimes you go up, sometimes you fall into sin. And that's quite okay. I do experience that. And I'm sure, if you're honest, you do experience that as well. But you're not permanently carnal. You're not permanently worldly. And you say to yourself, this is fine. I'm only human. God will understand. No. Because if you keep saying that to yourself, you are a natural person. You do not have the Holy Spirit in you. Growth is always upward. It's not a linear process. It goes up and down, but, you know, in the final analysis, it always goes upward. How do we do this? How can we keep growing upward like that, even though there's ups and downs? Well, here is the key to how we can do this. Last slide, please. The Word became flesh. You see, who has understood the mind of the Lord? No one. But that mind of the Lord now becomes part of us, because the Spirit who searches the deep things of God is now with us. So you cannot just regard Jesus as an example to follow, because you will not able to follow Jesus. But He has to live in us. And that's why John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God," referring to Jesus. And what's mind-blowing to people who read the Gospel of John in the first place is that that Word now became flesh. Remember before that Paul said, "You are people of the flesh." And now God Himself became flesh. And that's quite amazing, isn't it? He was one of us. He lived among us. He tabernacled among us. But He did not sin. Why? So that He can go to the cross and bore the wrath of God that is meant for us, for you and for me. In His body, in His flesh, He received that holy, righteous anger of God towards you and me, so that we are redeemed, so that we can have the Spirit of God. So friends, are you a natural person, a carnal person? That's one category. Or are you a spiritual person? If you have got no idea what that is all about, how to live in the Spirit of God, come to Jesus for the first time this morning. If you think that you have been Christian for so many years, have you grown? Have you led a life that is controlled by the Spirit? There's no jealousy, no envy, no quarreling, no selfishness in your life. But if your life is continually marked by selfish attitudes, that if your life is continued to be marked by carnality, worldliness, Paul says, examine yourself. And may today becomes a day of repentance for you. Let us